So firstly, just a little historical context. Last week we had Luke's version of the Sermon on the Plain. I mentioned to you that Matthew had his version, which was we know it as Sermon on the Mount. And from there we get the Beatitudes, Matthew's nine Beatitudes. Luke had four, and then he had the woes that go with those blessings. But he had Jesus coming down, you may remember some of you, from the hill, and he had this address given on the plain. And today we continue that same address. It will conclude next week, the week prior to Easter, actually, as we start Ash Wednesday, the following Wednesday. So we have Jesus delivering a collection of sayings. Now, I suspect that these were sayings that he had delivered during the course of his ministry, not all in one lump at one time. Because each of the sayings that he gives us applies to different times in our life and to different states of life. For example, he mentions there, if somebody takes your cloak, give them your tunic too. Well, the average person that Jesus mixed with wouldn't have even had a spare tunic, let alone a cloak and a tunic. So he must have been addressing people perhaps at that time when he used that saying who had a bit of wealth about them. But that wasn't the average person that Jesus mixed with. So if we look at our own life now and see what our situation is here today or tonight, and we see which of those sayings of Jesus makes me feel a little uncomfortable, challenges me a little bit more than the other one. And it usually comes down to some event that has happened in our life where somebody has wronged us or hurt us. And the pain of that lingers on in our person. And we find it very difficult to be the things that Jesus wants us to be. I think, to be fair, it is very challenging to live a life with all of those golden virtues and values that Jesus gives us there. Try as we might, but we're still weak people. We are not perfect. So can you remember back in your own life at the time when you were naive, when you trusted completely, when you just believed in the good of another person and being treated well? Can you remember back that far? Because that naivety is usually stolen from us at some point during our growing up years. And it's usually painful when we learn sometimes that life is simply about trying to survive rather than just thrive, because the enemy, whoever or whatever that is constantly knocking at my door. And so our naivety gets squeezed out of us, that innocence is taken from us, and we become less trusting people. Life becomes much more challenging for us. And it's interesting that as I look at the church at the moment, that when I'm dealing with young people, particularly coming through the sacramental programs, and we talk about reconciliation, and I encourage the young ones to go to reconciliation before receiving their first communion and before confirmation. And for the main part, most of them do, but their parents don't. So kids go because Father said it's a good thing to do and that's what we should do. But the parents, for the main part, don't go near the sacrament. So that would give the children an impression, I'm sure, that, well, are my parents perfect? And children know that their parents are not perfect. And you, as parents, know that you're not perfect, because none of us are. But when we were young and naive, perfection was very close to us. And then as we get older and we lose our naivety, living a life of perfection that Jesus gives us today becomes extremely challenging. In Jesus' time, people would go to the marketplace and they would buy their grain. And the grain would be not weighed in scales, as we know nowadays or in more modern times. the grain would be in a cup, a vessel. And then if it was an honest man trying to sell the grain, he would take the grain and he would dip it into the barrel for the person who was buying, and then he would put his hand on it and he would shake it down, and then he would top it up so that you actually purchased a full cup of the grain. For the dishonest merchant, he would take the grain and he would scoop it in and give it to the person, and he would lose a quarter, a third of what he could have got and still pay the same price. That's why Jesus uses the metaphor there of your reward will be that vessel shaken down, full and overflowing in your lap. That's the perfection. We strive for that perfection. God gives back what we strive for immeasurably. But the trouble for most of us is that we get caught up with that incident or that individual in our life who continues to or who has perhaps stolen our trust and our understanding. And that's nearly always painful because most of us struggle with forgiveness. When I made my journey into the Catholic Church, I thought that things like bigotry and hatred, that they were things that belonged to non-Catholics because I had not experienced such things in the Catholic world. And I was a young man, and when I was coming into the Catholic world, I only experienced joy, a lot of joy, and genuine community love and goodness. They're the things that warmed me so much to the church that I fell in love with. And then the further I went into the church, not knowing that I would end up here, truly I didn't, the further I went in and I let myself be drawn into the relationship in the church to meet God in his church, the more I realised that those awful things belonged inside the Catholic Church as well. And so the naivety that I had when I decided to firstly be baptised and then come into the church was really taken from me. That joy, to some extent, was taken from me because of the poor behaviour of some members in a community that I actually fell in love with. And that's perhaps the worst indictment that we as Christians can have in our church that we truly love, is that we try our hardest, but when we don't try our best, we give a terrible example. And the world sees us as being no different than what most people who haven't fallen in love with God in their church experience. We're supposed to be different. And that's what the gospel challenges us to, and it is truly challenging. I have discovered a church in time that continues individuals and sometimes institutions continue to hurt other members within the church by the things that they say and things that they do. And I find that abhorrent, that we are supposed to not just be leading by example, we are supposed to give an example in everything that we say and do. And then when somebody comes and challenges us in a really inappropriate way, at an inappropriate time, using inappropriate language for whatever the issue might be, all it does is demonstrate their own hurt. And I'm not sure where that always comes from. But as soon as they see quite often somebody in leadership in the church, they've got a target and they'll go for it. And that's not the church that I am in love with, but it is the real church. It's not perfect, but it is not enough. That behaviour is not enough to stop me being in love with God in my church, challenging as that might be. Because I try truly to live my life where I understand that the vessel, that the cup with which we give to other people, well, that's going to be the vessel with which we receive from God. If I am shallow and bitter and nasty, my vessel is nearly empty, then the gospel is telling us that's what I'm going to get back. And I don't want that. And forgiveness, I truly think, is the hardest, but it is the key to healing the pains that exist in all of our individual lives and our collective life as the church. Because until one forgives, I think life is really governed by an endless cycle of resentments and retaliations. We spend our days scratching the scabs of some wound that we received sometime in the past. And instead of letting those wounds dry up and disappear, we keep opening them up. There's no way that one person who hates another, there's no way that that cost doesn't have a cost on the hater. It affects the person who hates. They might think that their hate is going to affect the person that they're directing it at. It's not. It affects the hater. There is no way of remaining unforgiving without maiming ourselves, crippling ourselves, because undissolved anger maims and wanders and festers through our body because that person cannot forgive. Now, we can live our life like that, but is that truly the best life that we can live? So I'd say to us, can we as a community and as individuals in our own life, can we at least try to live out this gospel and prove to those around us and prove to the world that this gospel can be lived and can be achieved?